Welcome to Free Range Flock. We were once the latchkey kids who came home to an empty house after school. We were feral, resilient, cynical, and innovative. Older than Google. Our teenage faces were never posted on social media. The internet was just an idea in our youth. Now we are older, wiser, and thriving. Our independent ways will continue to serve us. We plan to keep defying the odds, and we will carve our own path with grace, with humor, with joy, our way. We've been through some stuff. We will continue to keep pushing, and we are not going anywhere. The former latchkey kids are now the free range flock. Be the one who nurtures and builds. Be the one who has an understanding and a forgiving heart who looks for the best in people. Leave people better than you found them. Marvin J. Ashton, The Measure of Our Hearts.
So Sass, I know that you have been inspired and made better by many people that you've encountered in your life. Can you share a moment when someone helped you improved in some way?
Sure. So you're right. I mean, I think everybody gets touched by people, you know, and it helps you become a better person. That's just life, right? Mm-hmm. But when you and I were talking about this, an example did pop into my head. Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, I was a theater major, and I had a director / teacher, and we called him Mac. His name was George, but we called him Mac. And Mac was giving me notes one night after a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you need to take up more space. And I didn't understand him at first, you know, but he was like, when you walk out on stage, it's like you're folding it on yourself. Mm. And you need to take up the space that you are in.
Wow.
And that small, tiny little note of like taking up the space that you're in, and he was talking about on stage.
Yeah.
But I have applied that to my life in so many different ways, because it's like we tend to, I think especially as women, we tend to want to take up less space.
Right.
And you need to take up the space that you are in and know your worth. And I think I have used that piece of advice more than any other. That's
lovely.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I love how your face is lighting up when you talk about it too. It's like, yeah, it means a lot to you.
Mac was amazing.
Yeah,
I miss him a lot.
He definitely left you better than he found you.
Definitely,
lovely. So for me, you know, as a teacher, what comes to mind for me is like all the great teachers who inspired me. And because I was that, I still am a little bit, I'm a nervous student. So I'm always worried that I'm forgetting something, I'm going to mess something up. I'm always convinced I'm going to fail, like fail the class. And I'm like, even if I'm making a great grade, I'm always like afraid that I'm going to fail. And those teachers who just, those small moments of encouragement, who like would write something on the side, like you're doing great, or just some kind of side note. I think that's as a teacher myself, I now think about that impact when someone wrote that one sentence to me and how I carried it with me. Mm-hmm. That just it gave me that little oomph to just kind of keep going, and it's what I needed. But I hope they realize that just writing that note and me hearing it when I needed to hear it left me in such a better place. I really needed that. Mm-hmm, so yeah, that's definitely what comes to mind, is all those teachers who just looked out for me.
Well, I think it definitely shows that those ripples, you know, it's like that one little comment made a huge impact on you. Mac's little comment made a huge impact on me. And every time we give someone help or feedback,
right,
I think that you don't know the impact you're having.
Right. But we bring this up because for this episode, we want to focus on the concept of leaving people better than you found them. And for some people, their thoughts might go into like leaving a legacy. We can hear that a lot. And that's fine. But for others, it's those small unsung moments when you've inspired someone in some way to keep going, to believe in themselves and adding value to someone's life. So in these very divided times, it's time for us to remember the impact that we have on each other. For many of us, midlife is a time of self-reflection. It's definitely not the end of the road for us, but we tend to look back over cycles of our life thinking about who we have become and our impact on others. And let's face it, someone or many someones are watching us, getting their cues from us. So why is this topic important to free rangers? Well, I'll tell you why. Because most of us are fighting battles in some way that others don't know. Many of us are carrying burdens, fear, anger, frustration, or doubting their place in the world. And as our generation embraces its 50s and 60s, we have the ability to make a lasting impact on generations walking up after us. And I'll confess, when I think about leaving things, people, places better than I found it, I always think of the campsite. Like you're supposed to, you go to a campsite, you leave it in a pristine, better than you found it. So I always think about that. But the concept goes further. Again, you can actually apply it to your life. So each of us can leave people around us better than we found them. So Sass, what comes to mind for you when this whole concept?
Oh, well, I love the campsite analogy for me because I camp a lot.
Yeah.
I love being out in nature. And it's true. You want to leave footprints. You know, that's always the old saying. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you're having an impact on people.
Right.
You know, it's like our examples from earlier, you know, Mac left a huge impact on me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be like that in that you don't know the impact you're having on a person.
Right.
So it could be as simple as that little note that your teacher left you.
Right.
Or giving positive feedback to one of your direct reports at work. Mm-hmm. Or telling your friend, you know, they look so pretty today. I love that outfit you're wearing. Mm-hmm. You know, so those little tiny things, you're really improving someone's life. And you don't know the impact that you're having. So I love this whole concept.
No, me too. But I love how it's all those small moments add up, like just smiling at a stranger or that random thank you note. I like to, I haven't done it in a while, but when I was working in office, I love to buy thank you notes, like the dollar store, I buy a package and I'm like, just send one off and like send it in her office or just send one. Just getting it, just like someone acknowledged and saw me do something and just gave me a little bit of kudos or took the time out of their day, like, you know, 2 minutes to send me a note. How powerful is that? Shout out on social media. I can see that a lot. I just want to shout out to this.
Yeah.
The place that I work now, we use Slack. It's a communication channel. And we have a channel just for kudos.
Oh, cool.
And so we can give each other kind of public kudos. Like, I just want to acknowledge this person did this and it was so great. And I'm like, yes, you have to acknowledge those small little things. It's so important. It helps us keep going.
Yeah.
And just listening to someone.
Yeah, I think that is hugely impactful. I think a lot of times we get so drowned in our world. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know I'm experiencing it. You know, you've experienced it. We all do. We get so down in the weeds of our life that we forget about the impact of like listening to somebody or that note, you know, which you were just talking about, sending a note. It's hugely impactful.
Yeah, definitely.
But sometimes I forget to do it just because I've got my head down,
right?
You know, and then I'm exhausted.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's so important. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the reminder of, you know, we need to say those things and we need to listen to people.
Definitely. And because we're all going through something and that little thing might mean help them cross the finish line. You just don't even know. Mm-hmm. So I know we've added story. We talked about stories here at the beginning about when someone helped us. But I want to flip it and see if we can share, like, when's the time that you thought about helping, like adding value to someone's life? And I'm looking at you, Sass, for a story here. And I can think of like 100 right here about you right now. But I want to hear one that comes to mind for you.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, one that just popped into my head. So I will agree. I'm a helper. Mm-hmm. So that's just my personality. Always has been. And so I'm one of those people. My mom used to call me a little mama, you know, so I was constantly like mothering people, and I've learned not to do that, but that's just telling you what I am. So I used to have a direct report, and lovely, lovely woman. And she was a dream kid, if you know what that is. It's a person who has come into this country as an immigrant. Uh-huh. And she qualified under the DREAM Act to be first considered a permanent resident and then for citizenship.
Oh, nice.
And I had the privilege of being able to make recommendations for her because she was working for me.
Nice.
It made me so happy when she finally got her citizenship about 18 months ago. It's a very long process because you know, first it was the green card. She was getting her permanent residency and she was able to get that. And then she was able to get her citizenship, like I said, about 18 months ago. And she sent me a thank you note and a picture of her with a flag after she had gotten her, you know, she's taken her vows and all that stuff that you do when you become a citizen. And it just, it made my heart big, you know, because I played a very small part, but I think just being able to help her along that path mm-hmm. made me so incredibly happy. And of course it made her happy because now she's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah. Well, my example is a common example. A lot of you people out there are parents, and mine just, I keep thinking about what, you know, what can I teach my son and leave and inspire him to do? And my son was diagnosed with ADHD in the last 8 months. And whenever you get a new diagnosis like that, you're going through this journey. It's a journey, and it's a disorder, and it's a serious one, but it's one our school systems are still kind of wrestling with. And so my son's been on medication and like, you know, try this. And the other day, he had a meltdown. He just fell apart. And so as the parent, you know that sometimes the kids save the worst part of themselves for you.
Yes.
So like his meds are coming off. He's feeling weird, and he's like taking it out on me. And I am sitting there going, I'm not gonna take this personal. I'm gonna stay calm. I'm like, okay, I think you're just tired. I think this is happening, da da. And I mean, some vicious things came out of his mouth, and I'm like, it's gonna be all right. I know you're tired and you're not your best. And then, you know, inside I'm like, oh, this hurts, you know. But then the next day I was like, he needs to know it's safe to still, right. You know, it's okay.
Right.
And we talked about, like, I said, listen, I am your number one fan. You're my favorite person, and I'm gonna be the last person. I'm gonna be across the finish. I'm gonna be the last person. I probably love you more than you love yourself, because that, you know, and we're gonna get through this together.
That's right.
And I said, this is all the things that I'm doing to help prepare myself for this. This is what I need you to do. I need you to be aware of your body. I need you to be, you know, talk to me and that. But dude, it was hard. It was hard because I wanted to take it personal.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got to be calm here.
Yeah.
And I've got to let him know it's going to be okay. Even though what he's saying is really mean and hurtful, it's not him.
Right.
But I had to reflect that. I had to be what he needed me to be. But man, was it hard. But at the end, we're so much better off. I mean, I didn't blow up. You know, he went to bed and went to sleep and then apologized the next day.
Yeah.
But sometimes that the listening and just, okay, this is hard to be here, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to see, we're going to be on the other side of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think that you do such a beautiful job of communicating with your son. And I know it's hard, and mm-hmm. especially when he was younger and he didn't have the emotional maturity to be able to kind of go, this is what's going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 11,
yeah.
right? So
mm-hmm.
he's still learning that emotional maturity,
mm-hmm.
but he's so much better than he was. And he still shuts down. I mean, I see that in him.
Yeah.
But he also does a much better job of like reflecting on it the next day and being able to talk about it once he's gotten past the emotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You do a great job of that.
Thank
and I'm
you.
So proud of you because it's hard.
It is so hard
to be the person that is getting, you know,
getting the worst of
blasted,
it. Yeah.
You know, and all of that.
I'm like, your teacher gets all the, like, the medicated you. I get the coming off the meds. And that, yeah. But I mean, I'm like, I got to make sure he's okay, and I leave him better than where he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now I'm just going to take the punches. And he wasn't punching me. It was like verbal.
Verbally.
And like, it's going to be okay. And got up the next day, I'm like, it's going to be all right. I'm going to see you cross this finish line. But you were just tired and not admitting it. And because yeah. when those meds come, I mean, just the exhaustion of keeping his thoughts organized all day.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard having ADHD, and he's got it a little worse than me, I think, because he has the physical kind. Mm-hmm. I have the, you know, I'm an introvert anyway, but I just, you know, internalize a lot of that stuff. He has it on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
You know, and especially an 11-year-old kid needs to move, and mm-hmm. then he's in the classroom, and his brain's too busy.
Yeah,
yeah, that's got to be hard.
It's hard, but that's the one that comes to mind. Just the, it seemed small, but man, on the inside, when you're on the receiving end, that was hard.
It is hard.
That was hard.
But like I said, you're doing a great job.
But thank you. I try so hard. So I'm just curious, Sasa, because I mean, I always think of you as like the epitome of kindness. Like, so what are some of those things that you do, your favorite things that you do around others to help them feel better?
Thank you for that compliment, because I do try really hard to be kind.
You are very good at it. So good at it.
We have a mutual friend who I always put ahead of myself as far as on the kindness meter, Kim.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She is like literally the kindest human mm-hmm. I've ever known. Anyway, mm-hmm. Kim, you're amazing. Anyway, I hope you're listening. So I think one of the things that I do just on the day-to-day is I try to think of people I come across in my life, whether that's at work or in the store or whatever, as human beings. Because I think a lot of times we get so wrapped up in our own heads and we just see mm-hmm. People-shaped objects that go by us, mm-hmm. but we don't think about the fact that they're human beings, right. and the fact that they could be having a bad day. And so when you have that experience of being in line at the grocery store and the cashier's not as nice as they could be or whatever, right. trying to just remember that this person is a human and that they have an emotional, you know, stuff going on in their own heads, and you don't know what those things are.
Right.
You know,
right.
you're not in their shoes. So I really try to give people grace and space to just be who they are and who they need to be.
Right.
And sometimes that's just about being kind at the counter and saying, mm-hmm. hey, are you having a good day? You know, how's your day going? And smiling and trying to interact with them as a person instead of being grumpy.
Right. I know if I'm ever standing in line and the person in front of me is not the kindest, I tend to like ramp up my like, well, hi, how are you?
Exactly.
I love being
there.
And I'm like, let me see if I can counterbalance that bad energy and take care of them a little bit.
Exactly.
But the example that comes to just like the whole acknowledgement that there's other human beings around, I think because I'm a parent, my examples are coming out as, you know, all parents, but I think of those single parents, or happen with two people too, is they have a kid and they have a meltdown, like a really public meltdown. Mm-hmm. I think I heard a saying that if your kid doesn't have a meltdown every now and then, you're not doing it right. Because sometimes you got to say no and stand your ground. And I'll see this parent struggling with this kid, and they're just like, that kid's just like flailing and shouting, and they're just like, oh my gosh, I just got to get out of the store.
Yeah.
Those are the situations I really think about. Like, I go over, like, can I help you do anything? Or, like, I'll say, you're doing a great job, Mom. It's, you know, it's okay. We've all been there. That kind of, because I know how, I remember I was dragging my son through the Atlanta airport. He was having a meltdown. We were about to miss our plane, and we didn't miss it, but we barely got it. And he's having a meltdown the whole way from our gate change because he was so overtired. That's when he's the, you know, yeah. my son has yeah. the, with the, he's overtired. And he was 5 and 50 pounds. And I'm like, I have our carry-on luggage. And I'm like, and he's just like, and I'm like, I just thought everybody's looking at me. They're thinking, what a bad mom. And I just remember that feeling. Mm-hmm. And no one offered to help me. Mm-hmm. No one. I kept dropping stuff. No one picked it up. I had to like, you know, whatever. And so now when I see people going through that same situation, I think, I've got to step in and like let them know it's okay. Even if it's just like a verbal or a smile, or like I'll pat the bottom of my chin, like keep your chin up. It's okay. It's going to end. This is going to end soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I try to do. Those are my big things. But yeah, just acknowledging there's another person and they could be having a bad day or in a rush or you don't know. You just don't know.
Well, I think a lot of times too, we forget that like anger is usually because you're uncomfortable with something. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, most people, when they're angry, it's not because they're a bad person. It's because they're afraid,
right.
or they're overtired, or, you know, there's usually an extenuating circumstances.
Right.
There are, like, grumpy people who are just going to be angry all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time, there's a reason mm-hmm. people are reacting that way. And so it's kind of like you got to let it be like water on a duck's back and just let it go past you, because it's probably not you.
Right.
It's probably something else in their life. So those little moments when you can help by, you know, just looking at someone and saying, it's okay, you know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or being kind or giving a person a smile. I think those ripples are just so important.
So it goes so far. Your impact may not seem obvious to you at times, but someone may be watching your journey and hoping to be like you one day. There's a Greek proverb that says, a society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in. I hope this message of this episode resonated with you in some way today. Each of us have the capacity to add value to others' lives around us in some way. So, Sass, what was your big takeaway for this episode?
I think my takeaway for this was that you're an amazing mom.
Oh!
Because what you were talking about, how, like, because it is so hard when you're a kid, and I'm Jules's godmother,
mm-hmm.
and so sometimes, you know, he takes things out on me, too, because... Mm-hmm. And it's hard, and it's so hurtful when someone, you know, that you love and you're trying to help kind of lashes out. And so you being able to be calm, you know, that's an amazing skill. And it's something that I think we can all bring into our lives, because, again, we don't know what's happening in people's heads.
Right.
And so when people are angry with us or people have moments, realize that it's not about you most of the time.
Right.
They've got something else going on in their head. So that's my takeaway. You're a great mom.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that was sweet. My heart was touched. My cold heart was touched.
You don't have a cold
heart. I don't have a cold heart. For me, it was just how those small moments matter. And even if that small, you probably will never see the impact of that small moment. Like those old men sitting, you know, planting those trees. You'll never probably see that moment of what your ramped up kindness with the checkout person did, or that smile, or offering to help, or just listening. You will probably never see the impact, but it's out there and it's important.
Yeah.
So I love the idea. Thank you for the compliment. Oh my gosh, I need it. I've got the little shivers here. But it was. Thank you. It's very sweet. But each of us play a role in helping people around us, you know, leave them in a better place and adding value to their life, even if it's just not being mean.
Well, I think that in and of itself is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, just treating people as human beings is one of the best things we can do.
Right.
Just realizing, because like I was saying earlier, those people-shaped objects, because we tend to see people sometimes as
stuff,
background,
you
know, that they're just in the background. They're not important in our lives, right? But those people are important, and those people have their own lives they're living.
Right.
And so remembering that, I think, and treating people as people and human beings with feelings is one of the best things you can do in your life.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So just
keep on keeping on. Keep on smiling. Keep on listening. Keep on. But make it your goal to leave people at a better place.
Agreed, 100%. So, if you haven't found us on social media yet, why haven't you found us?
Why haven't you found
media?
You haven't been looking.
Come on. We are on Facebook. We're on TikTok. We are on
Instagram.
And we're on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So, we want you to go and do all your social media stuff. So, press the button, subscribe, get your notifications.
Like, jump up
like
down.
Us, whatever it is that you do. Because we want to have a conversation with you. Just us talking on the podcast isn't nearly as much fun as hearing what your thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
And today's thought, you know, how are you making an impact in people's lives? Or how are people impacting your life? And what makes, you know, those little pieces of kindness go further? So we'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, y'all. Thank you for joining us for Free Range Flock. Our goal is to inspire and celebrate who we are, the Generation X kids who grew up and decided to do things their way, with grace, humor, and joy. This has been a production of Sassy Am. If you want to learn more about our podcast, follow our blog,
share your positive insights about being a free ranger, or to suggest topics or guests for future episodes, please visit our website at sassayam.com. That's S-A-S-S-A-Y-A-M.com. Keep pushing.